Good morning, and we welcome back to the Daily Pod, Dr. Andrew Jackson, superintendent of the Sunman-Dearborn Community School Corporation. Good morning to you, Dr. Jackson.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Well, as always, it's great to have you on the program, sir. And of course, this is, different school corporations around the area, still when one of us hurts, all of us hurts. And, no question about with the tragedy that unfolded over the weekend at Versailles State Park.
Yes. First, on behalf of Sunman Dearborn board and our employees and families, I want to pass along our condolences to the Jacksonville families and students and everyone over there on the passing of Carson. What a tragedy, absolutely unimaginable tragedy, and I know the whole community is hurting. Many schools in the area have gone through this, so we're all supporting Jacksonville as best we can and offering additional counselors and advice and things like that to work through it. I know it's something I went through four or five years ago here, and many of my colleagues in this area have as well. So I want to let that community know that we're praying for them. We'll pass along our sincere condolences.
Yes, indeed. So again, condolences and to the Hughes family. And as we shift gears and get into the meat of the order here, the Sunman-Dearborn School Board meeting Thursday evening. And of course, much made of an incident that happened regarding flying the American flag. And Dr. Jackson, can you kind of address what happened as far as what happened at the board meeting and things related to that?
Yes, absolutely. It's an unfortunate set of events that happened. We had a situation where for several years we've not allowed flags in our parking lot at the high school. They established certain rules, and you have to register your car and get a parking pass to park here. And one of those rules is you don't fly any flags for a couple reasons. One is they were concerned that there'd be some inappropriate flags for school. And second is just safety concerns with visibility and flags being ripped or torn or falling down or falling off and things like that. So there was a student that was told to remove his flag on a Thursday, and it happened to be the U.S. flag. And then the next day, about 13 students came with U.S. flags, and Mr. Black, our principal, met with all those students. And after he had consulted with me in the morning about it, and I said, no, you can allow some flags and still other flags that are not appropriate. In fact, earlier this year, we had a flag that's a popular flag you see out there that has some profanity in it regarding our current president, and that was being flown in our parking lot. Students were told to take it down, and it took it down without incident. So, we can continue to do those things and allow, the U.S. flag that deemed appropriate. So it was very much a misunderstanding, and he met with all the students, shook their hands, told them he was proud of them, appreciated them standing up for this, doing it respectfully and politely and appropriately, and moved on and talked to the parents as well. Unfortunately, it hit social media, and then it really blew up when it hit a popular Instagram and Twitter account called the Libs of TikTok. It went very much national. And then over the weekend, then it went national with Fox News as well. And so we had a large group at the board meeting. I think we had a total of 85. We had 85 chairs, and it was just about full. No one was standing, so it was somewhere, around 85 people at the board meeting. Six people spoke, the student and the mother, father were three of them, and then three other people spoke, two from our community and one from outside of our community, from Batavia, Ohio, spoke, and the board passed a resolution affirming students' right to display the U.S. flag on their vehicles in the parking lot. And that was done to clarify their standing and also to clarify that we don't plan on adding it to the handbook, because that was some sort of rumor that was out there that, oh, we're allowing it now but not next year. So the board wanted to make it clear that they do not plan on addressing that in the handbook and will continue to allow it. I think moving forward, which we're focusing on now, I think Gary Geller, board member, said it best in the meeting when he talked during comments and spoke directly to the student and parents and said that, he's a retired high school principal, and he always appreciated students that stood up and did it politely and respectfully and stood up for what they believed was right. And he called it civil disobedience or civic disobedience. And he, you know, mentioned the Vietnam War when he was in high school. And so he said he was proud of the family, you know, for standing up for that and getting it corrected. But he also said there's another side to it. And I think that's important for our listeners to know that, you know, that it was never about the U.S. flag. It was about all flags. And that's been completely lost in the social media and just regular media buzz about it. People see the first line and read the first paragraph, and they never get to our response and never understand all the facts of the case. And so he stated it was never about the U.S. flag. It was about all flags. And he also talked about how, you know, it hit social media, but then when it hit national news, he was watching it, and they were portraying us as a woke school, a liberal school, indoctrinating students. And he just simply said, everyone knows that's not correct. Everyone in our community knows that's not accurate. And he just simply said it went too far. And it's unfortunate, and we're ready to move forward, but it just simply went too far. You know, that was the end of the meeting. During board meeting comments, we passed that resolution. We had a large crowd, like I said, and we had a few people speak on it. But I really sense that our community and our staff and students here know that the way we're being portrayed on the national media is not accurate, and they're ready to move forward. I think the fact that only, you know, three people spoke other than the family at the meeting, I think people realize that, you know, the community is ready to move forward, and that's what we're focusing on now, Tom.
All right. So very touchy situation there, but nevertheless, so this is case by case as far as whether a flag's deemed offensive, such as with profanity, things like that?
Yeah, similar to our dress code. When I talked to Mr. Black about this, when we spoke early Friday morning, is, you know, we allow T-shirts. I mean, we allow all T-shirts. So there's some things that just aren't appropriate for school, and we'll monitor that. And things that aren't appropriate for school, students will be told to take it down, and if they refuse, they might lose their parking pass as a result, and they're privileged to park here at the school. But we don't anticipate issues like that. You know, we've had a few small issues with that this year, but it's very rare that we get those, and it's certainly even more rare that students, disagree with us when it's an inappropriate flag. So we don't believe it'll be an issue, but we will have to monitor that.
All right. And then with that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick time out. We'll continue our conversation with Sunman Dearborn School Superintendent Dr. Andrew Jackson right after this.
Don't adjust your radio. The sound that you hear is your stomach. You're having trouble focusing. You can't recall your last meal. You're trapped in the hunger zone. The solution, Batesville To Go. Let To Go deliver a hot, fresh meal to your home or office whenever hunger strikes. To Go delivers the best food from local restaurants. Visit us online at togodelivers.com or call us at 812-727-8800. Batesville To Go. Big city convenience, small town taste.
And welcome back as we continue our visit with Superintendent Andrew Jackson of the Sunman Dearborn Community School Corporation, and a lot of action items regarding the building project on Thursday night, Dr. Jackson.
Yeah, there are several action items. I think there was a total of maybe six or seven different resolutions the board had to pass, and it was all dealing with phase two of the building project. So I think our listeners remember that we went through phase one. We talked about phase two. It's mostly mechanical systems at the high school. All our rooftop units at the high school have to be replaced, and three boilers have to be replaced. So the total construction cost is about $33 million. We have what's called soft costs in there as well, the architect fees, reimbursables, contingencies, allowances, construction manager, the bonding fees, insurance, things like that. The total project cost will be about $43 million, with about $33 million being construction costs. So all those, we passed the various resolutions back in October, November, and waited, and then now that we're moving forward with it, this begins the process to actually borrow the money, and all of them were we're dealing with the building project.
All right. So again, that's $43 million is the total for that project, for phase two of the building project.
Correct.
All right. And then also, the board acted on a resolution authorizing performance-based accreditation waivers.
Yes, the board previously approved our 24-25 school year calendar, and included in that calendar is a two-hour early release each month where we focus on curriculum and instruction. So each month we have a two-hour early release where all the teachers meet and either receive professional development on instruction, or we look at curriculum and data and do that work as well. So part of that calendar to do the early release, we have to get approval from the state. So they opened up their waiver application to go to school two less hours a day. So what happens is there is a minimum number of minutes that you have to go to school each day for grades K-5 and then grades 6-12. If you can show that through the school year with that two-hour early release, you may not meet that minimum on those individual days, but on the year you do meet the overall minimum amount of minutes, then you can apply for this waiver. So we do meet those overall minutes to be able to dismiss 2 hours early each month. And then part of the application is the board has to approve the resolution to apply for the waiver. So that was the first step, and now I need to upload this resolution, and then answer some questions for the state to apply for the waiver. And then eventually the State Board of Education will consider the application with the resolution so we can continue next year with the two-hour early release.
All right. As we continue our conversation with Dr. Andrew Jackson, superintendent of the Sunman-Dearborn Community School Corporation. And then lastly, the board acted on educational technology program for Common School Fund activity. And can you kind of explain that for us, please?
Yes, the state provides a fund that schools can borrow from at very little interest. It's about 1%, and you pay it back over like 4 or 5 years, depending on the terms you choose. So we've been using that over the last several years to purchase our Chromebooks. And so we're on a 5-year rotation cycle with our Chromebooks. And so what happens is our students all have a Chromebook. We have about 3,800 Chromebooks. And then each year we purchase replace those for those students. And then 1 year out of that rotation is for staff. So this next year coming up, we will be purchasing Chromebooks for the staff. So this application, again, goes to the state. And then we won't purchase these until actually next spring when we purchase them. So once they approve it, you have 12 months, and they typically approve them in May. So the next spring in March or April, we'll purchase some additional Chromebooks. It's actually to replace all the staff Chromebooks. This time it was about $176,000 that we're borrowing from the state. The amounts have varied depending on the number of Chromebooks. We try to do it by grade level typically. So we work through those grade levels, and then next year we won't have to replace any students. We'll replace staff instead. So that application requires board approval, which they did at the board meeting, and then we will submit that to the state.
All right, so a lot of ground covered on Thursday night's school board meeting, the Sunman-Dearborn School Corporation. Dr. Andrew Jackson, superintendent, we sure appreciate your time this morning. Stay well, and look forward to speaking with you again down the road.
All right, thank you, Tom, for having me on.